Are you tired of the I can't mindset? The I'm not good enough mindset? Do you feel like your negative thoughts control your life? Well, you came to the right place, because in the next 30 minutes, you will learn how to break free from the limiting mindset of anxiety, fear, victimization, depression, trauma, and self-hatred by reprogramming your subconscious mind. It's time to master your mind with Dr. Erica.
Hello, good people, and welcome to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today is a good day. I hope that everyone has been staying safe. I hope everyone is using their masks, keeping their distance, using hand sanitizer, and keeping each other safe, because we are still in the midst of COVID-19. And it's important that we remember our safety and everyone's safety is first. And so I just want to say, everyone, I am a daily user of CBD. I am a psychologist with 23 years of experience, and I know that CBD works. I recommend it to my patients because I know it benefits anxiety, stress, insomnia, allows for focus in chronic pain, and just has so many benefits, both mentally and physically. CBD is all natural. It comes from the organic hemp plant. It is legal in all 50 states. The legal limit of THC is 0.3%, but we have products that have 0.0% and are all CBD. Again, you don't need a prescription, and you can take it knowing in comfort and confidence that it is safe and effective. And so with that, I encourage you, if you have not, give CBD a try. It is life-changing, and you can get CBD products, gummies, essential oils from my website, which is hemphappier.com. And so today I have a special guest, and you are really going to love this story, because when I read it, I was so inspired and I just wanted to learn more. And so I have with me today Erin McCormick. And Erin McCormick is the author of the book Unbounded: Journey to Your Within. He is an author, an artist, an entrepreneur, and an inspirational speaker. Erin has a very interesting story. He was raised on the south side of Chicago, and you all know I'm here in Illinois, Chicago, by a single mother, abandoned by a father with mental illness, and he is overcome adversity time after time. Since the age of 23, he has been a leading technology business transformation sales executive, honored as best of IBM, an award bestowed on the top 1% of 400,000 employees. He has founded several companies and earned an MBA from a top business school without an undergraduate degree. Wow. In his book, he explains how you and me, that we can use our inner voice, empathy, and joy to unbind ourselves from the lives that hold us back on a daily basis. And so with further ado, welcome Mr. Erin McCormick to my show. And I just really want to say thank you. I appreciate you taking the time and really sharing your journey with my listeners.
Hey, Dr. Erica, thank you for having me. Excited to discuss.
So can you just start off by sharing, really, how did this journey evolve for you? Because it sounds like you had so much adversity, and I want to hear about it.
Well, yeah, you told some of the story. Born, raised on the south side of Chicago. I'm the youngest of four. My parents divorced when I was about 3 or 4 years old, and mom moved to Houston and Phoenix, and then ultimately back to Chicago. I was around 10 at that point. So I got early on, I got a little bit of exposure beyond the borders of Chicago, so to speak. Because as you know about Chicagoans, sometimes, especially black folks, minorities, we tend to stay put. And we tend to not get out, not broaden the horizons. And there's obviously historical reasons for a lot of our, you know, self-imposed limitations. But the point is, I got early stage exposure up until about 6 years old. And then from then on, I was back in Chicago. And that was most of my formative years. My mom, as a result of maybe the divorce or challenges in the marriage or whatever the reason, people end up in very restrictive, cult-like, some you know, might call them fundamentalist religions, whatever, for a sense of belonging, a sense of structure. Usually it's after the death of a loved one or some other traumatic event. As a psychologist, I'm sure you are very aware of how these things work, and we need something to attach ourselves to. Either way, I was born in a religion that was highly restrictive, discouraged any sort of self-expansion or self-enjoyment, seeking of what is kind of what would bring you the utmost satisfaction or success. Success was even discouraged, at least secularly, because again, fundamentalist, meaning you follow Christ literally, you're Christian to a T, if you will. So, and that it can be extreme. In fact, most would realize or would agree that if you take the Bible verbatim, it is it's quite an extreme book in many circumstances. Like if you commit fornication regularly, which a lot of people do that before they're married, if you are gay, etc., you simply won't be in God's kingdom. So that's an example of you know, much of the things that if taken literally, it can be very suppressive to your life. Well, in this case, you know, there was no college education. Again, if Jesus was a perfect man, he could have been the best anything, fill in the blank, lawyer, psychologist, so to speak. He could have been the best ruler, a king, and he chose to be just a lowly carpenter. So now you can see the framework by which I'm not supposed to want to be anything other than a trade, something simple. And, you know, the process of being a little bit more connected to the heart, as opposed to being totally guided by the mind, just means you follow the unspoken voice. How is that? Is an unspoken voice? Yes, it's an energy. It's not always words. It's just things that you know and feel, and either you're in congruency with that or you're not. And in my youth, I thought I wanted to be a mechanic, thought I wanted to be a bunch of things that pop culture, things around me said would be good and lucrative and in fashion, so to speak, whether it's computer programming or being an auto mechanic, because I loved cars. Eventually, I just realized none of those would quite really be in alignment with what I was on the inside. I needed to be dealing with people, which is more complex than all the above, all computers, anything else, as you know. And so I said, okay, I either need to be in, well, I can't be a psychologist, which I would have been, or I can't be an attorney, because everyone said I would have been a phenomenal attorney. But I can be a trainer of some sort. Can't be a school teacher. That requires a degree too. But I could be in sales and training. And a lot of my family were in, you know, careers that was kind of sales. My mom sold advertising for a while. She also has done benefits planning and things like 401ks and insurance, that sort of thing. Two of my brothers did similar. And there were other examples of people that did something that was a trade, but could still potentially make decent money. But there was nobody talking about technology. And I'm a very analytical, I'm very much a, you know, balance in terms of left brain, right brain. That's a whole other topic. Like I'm ambidextrous. And so in multiple ways, left-handed. This is part of, say what?
Left-handed.
I'm left-handed, but I'm ambidextrous. So it's very oddly how it's that way. And I talk about some of this in the book and how little things about you, whatever they are, tell often a bigger story of what you can and should be doing, the space you should be occupying in your essence. I don't mean the specific, you know, to-dos daily. I mean in the ultimate way that you originally wanted to show up, as opposed to how you've been molded to kind of be animated, or so, you know, how to view things, how to perceive your fears, your biases, your preferences, and all that sort of thing. So, you know, it was not a bad childhood, because the beauty of youth is the glass is usually half full. So although poor, I didn't feel overly underprivileged or anything, but it certainly showed me how the world really is. I didn't grow up with rosy glasses in that respect. Let's see what else.
Let me ask you this. You talk about the intrinsic drive versus the extrinsic drive. And right. You talk about strengthening that inner voice, that what you call the North Star joy. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. If you just consider all of us when we were babies, whether infancy or being a toddler, there's a spark, there's an essence that animates that person, that child, that belies sometimes their hereditary, or it belies their physical stimulus around them, meaning there could be dark energy around them, the baby is still joyful and light. The point is, we're something before we were taught all these different things. And also at that stage, we tend to focus on two things, really three, but it's joy and expansion. I want to try, I want to do, I want to have fun and laugh. So that's the expansion. We focus on touching others in terms of being seen, being noticed, having an impact. And that's really those two are the primary things that we're here to do. We first have to serve ourselves and grow and expand and have an experience, which is why I believe, chose a human incarnation, which I don't think that the human side defines the totality of what we are. And we've all had experiences from deja vu to the proverbial ears ringing and you kind of predict someone calling or speaking. We've all had various levels of psychic or telepathic sort of experiences. And we know that we are energy, right? Science proves that everything is energy. We ourselves are energy, and energy has no finite beginning and end. It simply transfers, which we'll talk later about how we put ourselves in boxes, which is actually the opposite of what energy does, right? It wants to conduct and keep on moving. But if you think about that original spark, we gradually begin to absorb what I refer to as binders. And a binder to you is not a binder to me. A binder simply means something that is alternate or incongruent, if you will, with your actual essence. And what does essence mean? Well, the reasons you are here. So the specifics of how you will expand, how you will bring yourself joy and fulfillment. So things that actually would be suppressive to that. And we all make this calculation, Dr. Erica. It's like in any event, whether it is a conversation, meeting a new person, potentially dating, starting a new job, being in a social environment in school or as an adult, we have a simple calculation that's made all the time and has to do with, will I be more ego-driven or mind-based, or will I be more heart-centered? And what I mean by that is the topic comes up, the situation, the person, the potential relationship, the job, whatever, comes up, and immediately we have our answer. Meaning we know whether there is alignment with the words being said, the relationship being proposed, the whatever the situation is. There is alignment or there actually isn't. But we have to make a calculation that says, okay, if I dissent against the external thing at hand, I have an immediate negative repercussion. Or if I dissent against the feeling inside of me, the repercussion's not so externally visible. I just kind of go, oh, I didn't really mean that. Why did I say that? Oh, I'm in this relationship, I'm not really digging it, or I'm in this job. But that's not, and you don't get to lose income. You don't lose a relationship that supposedly defines you, because now you're alone and you should be with somebody. You don't have anything that outwardly feels painful. So we gradually form a bias and a habit of doing the other. We have a choice of either dissenting against external ideals and energy and the paradigm around us, or dissenting against ourselves. And it's far less problematic, so it seems, to dissent against ourselves. So hence we're all, to a greater and lesser degrees, in a life that is alternate or deviant from what our real essence prefers. And then we look at others and we think that they're actually better than us, and they're simply more aligned with their truth. I mean, there is no such thing as a human better than another human, but there are humans that are more connected here than others. And that is the variance between those that are the most inspiring, successful, fulfilled. And money is just one small piece of it, because real success is only measured by the individual. That's another big misnomer, is we have all these, like even when you read my bio, right? It's like those are things that are on my journey, and they can sound and feel impressive because we have learned all these things that are challenging. But at the end of the day, success and fulfillment is your disposition, your satisfaction in the various categories of your life. And we actually don't even realize that when we measure it externally, that we are telling ourselves another lie. That's yet another binder. So the point is, we're full of these binders. So the notion of becoming unbounded is a methodical process of understanding who and what you actually are unconsciously or subconsciously, which again, science says 90% of human thought is unconscious. So 90% of what we do, we don't even know why we do it, right? So how do we consciously journey to the unconscious? And once we understand also the events and experiences in our life that we think made us, nothing really makes you. You already are infinite. You already are what you are, your energy. But we think they made us, to the things that we think broke us, or to the people that we think broke us. Nothing external has made or broken you. You are the cause and effect. And as you grow to understand how things have served you in ways you never thought possible, the truth was always there, but it was buried under all sorts of binders that the mind tells you, nope, that was a sucky experience. Nope, they did you wrong. Nope, this was, so there's all, so as you peel all that back, you become hugely empowered, more positive, more self-loving, and therefore more unconditionally loving of others. Division goes away. Fear tends to dissuade, and then you're in a higher bit of vibration and consciousness. And by the way, if we all did this personally, the whole world changes. It's not, you know, it's it all starts within each of us.
It's true, and I love it. I really love how you explain it, because it is so true, and it is so real. And it's what I do too every day when I do my job. And so talk a little bit about, you talk about how you transmute anxiety into a superpower. Can you just speak a little bit about that?
When we all think about the people that have been the most inspiring to us, whether it's someone in the family, someone that, you know, in the career that built something from scratch, or certain public figures, they have this bright vibe about them, they're magnetic. When we hear the history, it's usually incredibly dark, if you notice this, right? The history of the brightest people was usually incredibly dark, and there's a reason for that. It's kind of like saying, Arnold Schwarzenegger or some really buff person, how'd you get to be so strong? Well, we know how. They carried and lifted a whole bunch of weight. Right? So you get where I'm going with this, right? The more challenge, struggling, and anxiety we go through, the greater the opportunity, or the greater the output on the other side, because as it's carried and transmuted, meaning transformed, it actually is transformed into a power. Because let's think about this for a moment. If we are energy, if we go by what all religion teaches, so there's no bias here, right? If we go by the common thread across all religion, whether it's Christianity, Muslim, Hinduism, Buddhism, it's that God, source, is ubiquitous energy. And we are actually one with God. So all these various religions talk about how we are one with God. And they also all implicate that God is love. So those are the three things that go across all of the above. So if we are one with God, and we are energy, and energy has no beginning or end, we are in effect an extension of God, which makes us infinitely powerful. So it's almost like we signed up for a ride at Six Flags, if you will. The story of Christ, for example, emptying himself and becoming a human, that's probably an archetype for what all of us are. We are one with God. We've been emptied into a human form for an experience of separation from each other, from the one source we are. And we have all these things to give us the challenge of separation, right? If I look at you, you're a woman, I'm a man, therefore we're different. Someone's white, black, different, tall, short, country. So we have all these things, these ideas in the mind to convince us we're separate, when in reality, we are all one, hence the telepathic sort of connection, all the other things we talked about before. So if that's true, and in the God state, we're not only perfect, but we're completely powerful. When you come to the human experience, Earth, you've chosen to now be subject to a different experience. So hence we have gravity, whereas in your God state, you're completely, literally unbounded, right? You have the weight of emotion, of feeling sad or dependency of others, whereas in your God state, you're dependent on nothing. So it's like all these things we chose to experience to a degree. And if you didn't experience them, you kind of be gypped from the experience of becoming a little human, right? If it was perfect bliss, right? And so that's why the most awesome, the impressive people have these wild journeys. That's, would you like to be on a roller coaster that goes flatline? Like, what if you were born into a state of perfection and you were this so-called gorgeous appearance, since in the human world realm, we focus on the physical appearance. You're filthy rich, so nothing is unattainable. You have zero sickness or challenge or physical thing to try to aspire to overcome or improve. Everything is in like what kind of, so what's weird is in the subconscious, nothing about our journey would we really change, which is kind of weird, because some of the worst things that have happened to us, we in the conscious mind would say, oh, yeah, I changed that. That's horrible. But the irony is, if you look at even children, when they have a wound or a boo-boo, right? When the boo-boo is healed, they show it off.
Yeah.
It's like the biggest badge of honor, right? So the things that we've endured is like, it becomes that badge of honor, the thing that we're proud, most proud of, because that is the truth of this journey, is that, you know, all of it is really serving us.
I love it. I love it. All right. So in about 3 minutes, can you speak to how do we strengthen that inner voice? Because a lot of the knowledge and understanding that you have comes from a place that's greater than, like you say, this physical experience or the messages that we get. How do we help ourselves and others strengthen that inner voice?
Well, first of all, we live in a highly passive aggressive culture, even around the world. And of course, there's some areas where people are more direct, but the short answer is have a zero tolerance policy for internal conflict. Zero tolerance policy.
What does that look like?
Yes. So again, to disagree or have conflict with a mate or a coworker or a friend, that can be managed through separation, meaning temporarily or permanently. You don't have to stay in this triggered, highly conflicted state. You guys can go your separate ways. You can't do that with yourself. Mm-hmm. Last time I checked, you can't split, you know, you can't run from yourself. So what you think is solving and helping you is creating more conflict within, because the voice will still be wondering, why didn't I do that? Why didn't I speak up? Why didn't I do the thing that you know really calls for me? So when I picked a career and the data said the money's over here, but I like doing this, and I cowered, I bullied myself and said, you'll never make money doing that. That's artistic. Or nobody's doing that right now, so don't bother. The thing that all these people that we're so enamored by have done when they're self-made is they followed that voice despite the logic and the things around them that says no way, no how. So they somehow was wired to not accept the internal conflict, and they faced the music of their truth rather than living extrinsically. So the simple answer is you got to find a way to be congruent or aligned inside. So something you're hearing you don't agree with, and it's a group of friends that you're with, you have two choices. Separate and don't keep subjecting yourself to things that are completely against how you feel, especially on important topics, or speak up. Don't be like, well, it's what everybody does anyway. I guess I got no choice. Hey, I got to have some friends and stay in that situation. And that applies to anything. You either find a way to diplomatically speak your truth in relationships and all the above, or you separate so as to keep yourself intact. Because if you don't separate, you get assimilated. And now you've created this fuzzy thing around you. So I talk about your antenna is your vibe, your essence, your what you are. That gets diluted, so to speak, or it gets obstructed by a bunch of binders that have enveloped and wrapped around you so that you don't even know what your draw is. You don't know what your magnetism is because it has been tweaked and changed so much because of fear to become what the external expectation or ideals are. So the way it looks is do not have internal conflict. Be able to be honest with yourself. Follow that gut instinct, no matter how much it scares you, because that is ultimately what serves you. And it knows. How does it know? Well, if we just consider, again, the baby has its personality long before it was born. It had an essence, if you will. And to show that that essence is stronger than the external things we've been through, how we victimize ourselves or how we say someone made us, we've all heard of two scenarios or seen these two archetypes. One, a person is born into all sorts of, you know, support, two parents, money, encouragement, opportunity, and they grew up to be murderers or criminals or depressed, and you wonder, how is that possible? You had all the help. And then we've seen the other extreme where someone's born into poverty, ghettos, drugs, alcoholism, a lot of physical abuse and verbal abuse, psychological abuse. You ain't going to be nothing, all this terribleness. And yet they still have this vibe of light and they have this empathy or this, they become great leaders. So again, if you want to believe that you are the product of everybody else's molding, that's exactly what you're going to be. But the truth of the matter is your essence is way older than your learned self. Your learned self is 20, 30, 50, 60, 80 years old. Your essence is who knows how many millennia old. So when you have the choice between mind or heart, the mind is scared to death, and that's the point of the challenge. That's why you get on the ride at Six Flags. You want to be scared shitless, and pardon my French, but don't pardon my French. That's why some people go to horror movies. I'm not into them. But right? I mean, like, you signed up for it. We all signed up for it.
I love it. Aaron McCormick, you are, you're amazing. You speak truth and I love it. And I love it. And that's what I want my listeners to hear. So can you just tell them where they can connect with you, where they can get the book? And I know you do speaking. Share with them.
You can connect with me on my website. So you can go to aaronmccormick.com, send me a message. It's also Unbounded Book, whichever is easiest to remember. I'm on social media. Facebook and Instagram is The Aaron McCormick. And what was your other question?
That was it.
That was it. Okay.
I wanted them to reach out to you because I think that it's amazing. I'm a psychologist. I've been practicing for over 23 years and you summed it up. I mean, you did such an excellent job of understanding how our minds work, how the essence of our existence is energy, and how really we are limited by our own minds and the barriers or blinders, as you call them.
Binders
that we attach to and that we believe in. And so this unbounded concept is beautiful because it basically says, be true to that voice within, right. And that's key. I love it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. I love your story, and I appreciate you sharing it with all my listeners. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Erica.
Thanks for listening to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. We will be back next with another terrific episode that will allow you to master your mind. Please visit hemphappier.com for more information about Dr. Erica and CBD oil. See you next week.